This morning we looked at this great thing about our faith and how it's based on the promise from God and the covenant of God. And I was thinking about one of those big promises is found over here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And it's one of those places where we're kind of tested about whether we cling to the promise, because there's a lot of questions we have about the end of time, about what's going to happen and how and when and where. And we have the church here at Thessalonica. We're having the same kind of questions. We'll start this with about verse 13 of chapter 4, and we'll go a little ways into chapter 5, where we see Paul as he is explaining this very thing. He's been talking about lots of things to them and how they ought to live and all of that, but then he gets to their big question. What's going to happen to the people who died in Christ that are now dead and he hasn't come back yet? There was a lot of people in the very early days of the church that thought Jesus would be back in a matter of days, maybe weeks, months, but it's been years. It's been decades. And now some of them are beginning to wonder about it. The skeptics in the book of Peter tell us everything's the same as it's always been, and so it's nothing going to happen. It's going to stay the same. Here we have the promise from God and the covenant of God repeated for us and an opportunity for us and the people here at Thessalonica to answer these questions. Look what he says, verse 13, chapter 4. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that those who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, and with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But as to the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need to have anything written for you yourself know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as the travail comes upon a woman with child, and there will be no escape. But you are not in darkness, brethren, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all sons of light, as the sons of the day, who are not of the night or of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet of hope, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we wake or sleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Here we have the questions they have, and Paul is giving them the answer, but he's not saying, here's what I think about it. He tells us, this is the command of the Lord. This is the word of God. You know this stuff, he's telling them. You've heard those promises. You know the covenant that God has made with us. You know that the Lord, before he ascended into heaven, told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know that he said that he would be with you always to the end of the world. You know that he said he's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he will come back. You know those things. Those are the word of the Lord. You have his word on it. But that's not all you have. Because of this situation that we're in, because of the doubt that some people have, and because of the anxiety about not having every answer. Aren't there times that you just wished you knew more? Aren't there times you think if I just don't know about that, and the whole deal comes down to having to trust God? And so that's kind of hard. That's faith is not easy, but it is doable. It is the only thing we can really do. And so we need to do what we can. So he says here, he said, you're not, look at the words he uses here. And he tells us in verse 13, you're not those people who have no hope. So you shouldn't act like people that have no hope. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be full of grief about this thing because you have hope. Why do you have hope? Because you understand everything? No, you have hope because you believe the one who's made the promise will keep the promise. We talked about that this morning, remember. He says, we believe. What do we believe? Now, what he's doing here is he's taking not only the word of God that they have, the testimony from this apostle they just received, and information they already knew. We believe that Jesus died. We believe that he was buried. We believe that he rose again from the dead. These are things that you know. This is verse 14. You know this is true. And we believe that God did this on purpose. And what does that tell us about God? It tells us he keeps his promises because he had promised that very thing. Jesus said, destroy this temple, talking about his body, and 3 days I'll raise it up. Jesus said, like Jonah was in the whale for 3 days, I'll be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. We know that he can keep his promises, even if they are really big promises, even if they're promises that seem impossible. Actually, it is impossible with man. But with God, all things are possible because he has all power and because he is God. So he says, you know this. These are things that you know. And we know that this is true, and we know it because we declare it to you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord. So he's lining up the witnesses and the reason we have confidence. We've got Jesus' word on it. We have God the Father's word on it. We have the Holy Spirit's word on it and the word of God. We have this apostle telling us the same thing, and even some of their experiences would tell them the same thing. And he says, what we know is that death does not separate us from God forever. What we know is that death is not the final say. The world says it's the end. We know better. When they put Jesus in the tomb, they dusted their hands off and they thought that has been dealt with. But on 3 days later, he comes back to life. We know that God is able to do what he promises to do. And he said, because we know this, we can know other things. We can know that our friends, our loved ones, people who died in Christ are not going to be cut out of the promise. Because the promise includes not only Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, but his return. And he promises us that we too will be alive. Remember what he told Martha at the tomb of Lazarus before he demonstrated that by bringing Lazarus back? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember? Now, Martha's not asking this question that they're asking because she said, I believe you, but these people are, and so he's answering their question here. So what is the real story here? On that day, whenever it is, Jesus will come back. On that day, he himself, the Bible tells us here in verse 16, will descend from heaven, and he will descend, he will attend, this time he's not coming back as a baby in a barn, whose life is in danger because of the edicts of some earthly king. He's coming back with his angels. He's coming back with command. He's coming back with the trumpets blowing. He's coming back with all authority in heaven and on earth. He's coming back to do what he's come back to do. And he says, and the dead in Christ will rise. That's God's word on it. On that day, the dead in Christ will rise first. Actually, everybody will rise, but not everyone is, it's a good day. But for those that are in Christ, it's time to go home. And they get to go in line first. So if we're still alive, we'll be behind Paul. And we'll be behind Peter. And we'll be behind all of those Christians who died in those Colosseums. And all of those Christians who died in those dungeons. And all of those Christians who died on the right sides of the roads and wherever they were. All of those Christians who have been there before us, all of those missionaries that gave up their life, all of those people that went to those places to share the gospel and they got diseases that cut their life short, all of those people who've been faithful unto death, they moved to the front of the line. Don't worry about your grandmother, he's saying. Don't worry about your old dead preacher. Don't worry about that. They're fine. You need to be thinking about you is what he's saying. You need to hang on to this faith that you have and remember it. And then he says, but as far as we're concerned, those of us who are still alive, we too get to join this great parade. He says, and then we will be caught up in the clouds to meet them or meet him in the air. And what does he say? And we will always be with the Lord. Now, I don't know everything about that city. I'm pretty sure the story that John gave us in Revelation is not complete, don't you? I'm pretty sure that it's going to be better than what he describes, don't you? I'm pretty sure that what he was giving us was a for instance, and what he has planned for us is better, right? Well, what he's telling us is wherever he is, we are. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? So that's one of the things we know. We know that. And he said because of that, because people have been confused and frightened, because they didn't know, he said, I want you to know what you do know. What you do know. What you know absolutely for sure because it's the command of the Lord, because it's in God's word, because the apostle just told you, because you're on some of these people own experience. They know that this is true, that Jesus died and rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and the angel said he's coming back. So what should we do? Knowing what we know, we should be comforted. Now, are we ever going to have every question we've ever asked or thought answered? Maybe on that day, but not now. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We don't have all of the answers, but we have enough. The world I live in doesn't have any algebra in it. But the world that most of you live in has algebra in it. And I don't know enough about it to even talk about it, but I will tell you this. Algebra teaches us if you know some things, you can know other things that you don't know. It's possible to know how many bricks are in that pile without counting them. It's possible. Because if you know the right things, then you can know what X is, can't you? He's saying you know enough to know that this is true. Do you have to know how many square feet of room you're going to have in your Father's house? He said there's many mansions. They're ready for you. And there's room for everybody. He said that God is not willing that any should perish. So if every person on earth repented and came to him, there's plenty of room. Why? Because God can do anything. You know this. And he says, and so you should be comforted. This should encourage you. This should give you the joy of the Lord. This should be like when the last time I saw B.C. McCarley alive. And he was laying in his bed, and he was dying. He was a great gospel preacher. He was a good friend. And I told him, I'm going to miss you. And he smiled at me and said, I'll see you in the morning. It should comfort us to know that God doesn't lie. It should comfort us to know that when he makes a promise, he can keep it. When we make a promise, we must keep it. Because his promises are so wonderful. He said we should comfort one another with this. That should be what we talk about. That should be what we think about. That should be an extra motivation for us to live the life that we should live. Now, as the hands go up when this scripture is being read, he says, but now, as to the times, the seasons, you don't have any need to know that. This is where you get tested. This is where your faith is. You know enough. Why? Well, he says, you've already had things given to you, things that were written to you. Nobody needs to write anything else to you. And he says in verse 2, you know well what he said about that day, that it will be like a thief in the night. You know well that he said you don't know when it is. You know that Jesus even said, but of that day, nobody knows. At that particular moment, he didn't even know. But you don't need to know. You don't have to know when, the day, the hour, the moment. But you know what? And you know why? And you know where? And you know who? So we can live without when. And by trusting him when we don't, you know, if we knew when, what would we want to know then? Wouldn't there be another question or two we'd ask? Will we get a few minutes' notice? A guy called the post office one time. It is 10 o'clock, 10:30, I think, at night on April the 15th. The post office was still open because you know what happens on April the 15th. And he called and he said, what is the last moment I can bring my taxes in there and get a postmark for the 15th of April? They said, 12 o'clock or 11:59. And he said, where are you? And they told him. And he says, and you stay open. He said, we will have someone in the parking lot. That was an old, that long time ago, you know, when they did stuff like that. Well, you know, we'll have someone in the parking lot stamping it. You'll get the stamp, but you've got a little over an hour to get here. And he said, I got one more question. He said, where do I get all those forms? If we knew the exact minute that he's going to return, some of us the day before would still be looking for the forms, wouldn't we? What were those parables that he talked about? Sometimes the king comes back early. Are you ready? Sometimes he's longer coming than you thought. Did you stay ready? What was the point of those stories? You have enough. Do your job. You know what I want. Do it. I don't want you beating the other servants. I don't want you not bringing enough oil. I don't want you laying around till the last moment. I want you to obey me. I want you to trust me. I want you to serve me. One of the things this church was having trouble with in Thessalonica is some of them quit working. They're just going to sit and wait for him to come. They're on a roof somewhere eating the last of the groceries, saying, what are we going to do for lunch tomorrow if he doesn't come this afternoon? What did Jesus say? You got work to do. What did Paul tell them? You got work to do. Go do your work. Live at peace. Encourage people. And if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Why do we care about that? Because it's a way we prove that we have faith. That we do what he wants us to do, even when we don't know exactly when. He says, you know enough. You don't need to know when. You know how. You know why. You know who. And you know what's going to happen. So he says, you know, there's thieves wouldn't be able to do anything if people stayed ready. The reason they're able to do stuff, I get stuff stolen every now and then because I don't lock my pickup. Someday that school is going to get to where the tuition's so high that I'll remember. I usually think something like, well, I'll just be gone for an hour. It'll be all right, you know, right? Isn't that what we do? That's why thieves do so well in their stealing. They take the opportunity. He says here, he says, we don't know when, so the only really way to be ready is to stay ready, isn't it? To stay ready. He says some people don't know that, and they're always in this desperate back and forth. They're always trying to second guess. They're always listening to some preacher on the radio that tells them he's got it figured out. There was a guy a few years ago that wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Well, he didn't come back, you might have noticed. So the next year he had another book, 89, I'm not kidding, Reasons Why He's Coming Back. I don't know what his book says now. Eventually people quit listening to him and everything. What does he say? He said, that's not you. You know who, you know why, you know what, And you live in the light because you know that. You have the Word of God. Nobody needs to tell you this. You know what He says. Believe it and stay ready. Believe it and trust Him. Believe it and obey Him. Believe it and be faithful. So when He comes, you're glad to see Him. When He comes, you're ready. You're doing what He said. That's what you've got going on here. He's telling us that coming out of that, because you live in the light, and He describes this here in verse 6 and 7, you're not in darkness, you're not ignorant about these things. You have enough information, and you know who God is, and you know what He's able to do, and you know what He's promised, and you believe it, don't you? You believe it, and because you believe it, you have this confidence that you have, and so you live as people who are awake. And you live as people who are in the light. And you live as people who belong to the day. What a wonderful expression. You're children of light. You belong to the day. And as children of the day, as people who know, you stay equipped all the time. You have your faith wrapped around you, protecting you. You have hope in your brain, on your head, the helmet of hope. And you know, look what he tells us in verse 9, God has not destined you for wrath. You know when He comes, it'll be a good day. Starting with the least important part, you quit hurting. Starting with the least important part, your joints all work if you have joints. What the great promise is, you're with Him. He says you're not destined to wrath. You're not having to worry about what's going to happen when you face Him, because you know who He is. You know you love Him. You know you've obeyed Him. You know what He's promised. You know what He has stored up for you. He said, if I go, I will come again. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I come again, you'll be with me. This is what He's promising here. And you put on that helmet that's hope, and the hope is salvation. I know we cry at funerals, but we cry because we're still here. And we cry because we won't have one of the joys that we have with all of the sorrow and all of the pain and all of the work and all of the frustration and all of the failures in this life. We do have a joy that's here, and that's with people that we love, right? And when we don't have that, we grieve, don't we? So in that way, that last day is salvation to us, isn't it? That's over with. That's past. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'll be doing what I'm supposed to do. And all of the stuff in this world that's separating me from doing that, our bodies that won't cash the checks our brain writes, our brain that won't think the thoughts that we know we ought to have. Do you ever do that where you think of something and you know it, and in 4 hours from now when it doesn't matter, bing, there it is. And you think, where have you been, you crazy thought? All of that's gone. All of that's gone. And God, who seems so far away from us, is so close. And He tells us we will behold His face. When the kids were little, the best thing about them was getting them up there and just getting them right up to your face. Sometimes you'd kiss them if they'd let you. But it was good enough to get close, wasn't it? Where you could look at them and where you could know them. One time Kimberly came home early, and we didn't know she was coming. She came home and she brought Stephen, who wasn't that big. And our family's cruel. She gave Stephen to a visitor and said, would you walk by that lady over there? Because Patsy hadn't seen him yet. And Patsy sees this lady, and she's talking to him, and she said, oh, and you have a baby. And when she turned the baby over, we should see Patsy started squealing. Now, babies look like babies. Not to their grandmother, they don't. And she starts looking for Kimberly, and she knows we're going to be that close to God. Now, he knows us. He's been watching us, but we've been seeing him through a dark window, haven't we? We've been reading letters from him. We've been in the dark with him. But then with unveiled faces, Paul said in another place, we behold his glory. And I don't want to be blasphemous here, but we're in his lap. We're as close as we can get to him, and it's where we're supposed to be. We're not those people that have said no to him, that are separated from him and are afraid to come into his presence, because he didn't destine you for wrath. The plan for you is well done, good and faithful servant. The plan for you is come into my home, come into the place. We've got a spot for you. Come in. That's the plan for you. And he said, so if that's true, and it is, because we have God's word on it, we have the word of God, we have all of the promises that he's made here, then what has he said? And we have the word of Christ Jesus who died for us. Verse 10, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we live for him. When we die, it doesn't end. When this world melts, it doesn't end. We're doing what we were meant to do, what we were created to do, what he called us to do, and we're doing it in his presence, and we're doing it full time, and we won't get tired. He told us at the end of chapter 4, comfort one another with these words. And then now here in verse 11, he said, therefore, encourage one another. It's not just being there, it'll be okay. Now it's, let's go. Let's do it. This is great. We're on the road. We're on the way, the bright and shining way, he says, and build one another up just as you're doing. He's telling his church, I know you got questions. You're always going to have questions. I know there's things you wished you knew. Of course you do. We want to know all about him, don't we? We want to know everything that there is to know. But we know enough to be encouraged. We know enough to be faithful. We know enough to keep obeying him. We know enough to not grieve. We know enough to turn, as Paul would say there in Corinthians, and take our veil off and look at his glory and move towards it. One of the encouragements that he's talking about here is the encouragement for those who are beginning to wander off, or those who are looking another direction, or those who are just wanting to sit down. Don't quit. We're closer than we've ever been to where we need to be. We're closer than we've ever been. It's like when you're going on that trip that some of you will be going on, and you get tired. Are you going to stop 10 miles down the road? No, you're going home. Are you going to pull over someplace and look at the buffalo that's at the park there? No, you're going home. And that's what he's saying. We're in, the encouragement is not only for ourselves but for each other. As we start quickening, in the Old Testament times, when they would go up to the temple, there's a whole bunch of psalms in the middle of the book of Psalms called the Psalms of the Ascent. Spontaneously, maybe some planned it, but as people would come into that city from every direction and start up that hill, they started singing those songs. And maybe they're singing different songs at different places along this walk. But they're saying, why are they doing that? And these songs are peppy, and these songs are exciting, and these songs are full of hope and faith and praise. They can't wait till they get to the temple to start this worship of God. They can't wait. And wouldn't you love to be there? Wouldn't you love to be coming in that gate and hear people starting to sing and think, oh, it's already started? Wouldn't it be great as you're walking up that path, up those streets, heading up there to the temple where God said he would meet you, Isn't it wonderful when you think about it? Wouldn't you want to look around and see if you recognize some people that were there last year with you? Wouldn't you look for your family that said, we'll meet you at the South Gate or whatever. And as you're going up there and as you're moving up, the excitement that would start building, he said, that's what you want. That's what you want. We encourage one another to keep on. We encourage one another to keep believing. We encourage one another to keep going. It's just a little farther, and we're there to encourage one another. That great parade of faithful people moving to the glory of God and towards His grace. And He's all for it, and He's given us everything that we need. If you're not on that road, please, tonight, get back in the way and start moving. Won't you come while we stand and sing?